for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, May the 25th, 2002. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Landry of Beaumont, Texas is the minister of the morning.
We thank God that He's given us a great and mighty deliverance in these last days. There's just so much of deceptive schemes and wiles and methods that the enemy is using in the last days to try to get the church off track. But how many of you know the Lord is putting us on a straight and narrow path? And He's for us. The whole world could be against us, but He's for us. How many of you have God is raising up and starting to share the ministry of deliverance to? Amen. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, I hereby commission you here, your body of Christ, to the battle, Father. And we pray this hour, Father, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you be loosed upon us, God. That you bring us increase, Lord God, that we may go forward valiantly, Father, doing the work that you've called us to do. I hereby commission your people to the battle, in Jesus' name. Well, let's see what God has for us today. I can remember just a few short years ago how God began to use my wife and I, Alberta, in the ministry of deliverance. I never will forget that late evening when we had brought a couple to the church. We were at a different assembly at that time. And a young lady began to become like a serpent on the floor. And it was like, I guess, I was thinking about how can I describe that. But I guess it was like when Mom took us to the first daycare or nursing, first grade. It's like, you're like, what's going to happen next, you know? And I saw my wife jump down there on the floor. And I said, now, why is she doing that? Now, my wife was actually given the commission. And then I began to submit to authority and began to learn what God was sharing with her about deliverance. But I didn't have any idea what was going on. But you know what? Even if you don't know a lot about what's going on, there's a way where God is able to show you a peace about the situation. Yeah. And it was no confusion. I just knew this was the right thing. Yeah. And it was about 3 years later when the Lord spoke in my spirit twice, and He gave me Luke 4:18. And I knew that He had gave me the commission to do what Jesus had done. But I didn't understand at that time that it was universal. So it took some time for me to begin to study the scriptures to begin to find out that this was the commission that was given to all. One time a minister asked Brother Dean here, my pastor, a senior overseer, he pastors at the other side, the other church, Christ Outreach, on Christ Centers on the other side of town. Why do people get so excited after a deliverance worker goes through there and begins sharing deliverance? Well, Brother Dean had an answer, and I've never forgotten that, and that is that it's the believer's ministry. So you ought to get excited about it. So we need to stay in our callings. What God has called us to do, we need to do that. And we need to support the work. I mean, who else is going to support this work? God needs to show us how to discern good from good. Well, I know we have to learn to discern good from evil. But there's just so many good works out there. And we can put our resources, put our time, and we'll be marching, climbing, and laying, and doing a whole lot of work that's a good work. But it may take us and distract us from the perfected work that God has for our life. Now, I know that I'm a commissioned soldier of the Lord. So I purposely decline many, many works that people would like me to get involved in. And many of you also have been called to come minister, go overseas. I mean, let's face it, the people overseas, it's a lot of poverty. And they'd just be happy to get another face over there. But we have to wait on our calling. I've seen people go over there and come back, and that day wasn't the same. Nothing. I'm not talking about being fearful here. I'm just saying, follow God. You know, wait on your callings. Don't be in such a hurry. Don't be concerned about if you don't have a degree, a PhD. just be concerned about are you submitting to authority. David learned how to be a good king by submitting to a bad one. That may not always be the situation here, but you learn how you're not going to be able to have your own work until you submit to another man's work. So I believe that discipleship requires that we find somewhere where we can submit to authority. Also, be kind and gentle. One time there was an individual there in our assembly that was coming for training, and he had a lot of religious spirits, a kind man. He meant well, but he did a lot of things in the flesh. And we were ministering to a young man that had a congenital birth defect in his hand, and I had the elders there. I had one guy just played pro football for Dallas, and I was working with a team there, and I was trying to show them to operate in the gifts and by faith with the limited ability I had through Christ. And God has given us all the ability we need. Amen? So don't be concerned about being in the battle or not being prepared. You're prepared. If he puts you in the battle, you're prepared. And so I command the man to stretch forward his hand, receive his miracle. And immediately this older man grabbed the guy's hand and started massaging it like he was anointed. And I said, oh, no, no. And he took offense when I moved his hand, you know. And I was gentle about it because I shielded the crowd from seeing what I did, you know. So you need to learn to have the presence of the Lord, because we don't want to do anything to bring a reproach on his name or divide the body. In other words, I'm saying minister with love and kindness. Please try to remember that, because it's so easy to become pharisaical, because we are surrounded by so much Pharisees and Sadducees, and, you know, they see things very fairly. So it can get into your spirit, man, and I believe this is one of the roots of many sicknesses in the church today. And so I heard him, covered him up there and moved his hand and tried to explain to him, and the young man's hand stood out like this and stretched out. And this man took offense to it because he felt like he had a better way. Well, I'm going to talk about a better way in a minute. And so we need to, he's no longer here. He's gone to be, hopefully we pray with the Lord. And I did pray and love this man, even in his separation from our work. And his wife and children are with us today. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the children. I got his youngest daughter just graduated college, and she's writing and doing our newsletters, and I'm putting together a prayer warfare booklet. And she just came to me. I told her, just bring me a couple of sheets of paper so when people come, we can give them some prayers to go home with until the next Friday night deliverance service. Well, she just made a booklet out of it. And so the family, his seed is just blessed. And and so God has called us, and he's commissioned us to a battle. So you got to get involved with the battle. And we can't be sidetracked with all the different works. Now, some of you may have a different work right now, and that's fine. Then you need to add the ministry of deliverance to your work. In the book of Revelation, they talk about in the last days. You know, the doctrines of men will come in, and many will substitute the things of God for the traditions of men. And so that's happening today. But I really see a great move of God in the last days, moving in the ministry of deliverance. And he's raising up you and I, the believers, to do the work. I thank God for what Brother Henry mentioned this last night, and Doc has mentioned it, all of the elders have mentioned it before, and I'm certain that you have heard it also in your ministries abroad, that God is no longer in the business of great men, just some men more greatly used than others. And I'll tell you what, to a person that's been healed of cancer in a wheelchair or delivered from sore throats, allergies, or whatever the case may be, can walk straight, feel better, no more pain, I'm going to tell you something. That is the greatest work. And it's, guess what? It's done by our Lord. Amen. It's not a work of man. And we should never allow ministries, I'm just going to flow here, but all the things that God is bubbling in my spirit from last night and the night before, we should not allow the work to cause us to become discontent. Become angry. You're not getting there quick enough. I don't like the way you're handling the work I'm trying to share with you. You're not fast enough. You're not catching it. We shouldn't be advertising our emotions. We shouldn't be taking an awe or surprise of another man's problems. When somebody's telling you a problem, you ought to be saying, huh? What? I see you looking at me like that, and I tell you, I got a problem. I know right there, you ain't ready. Oh, no, you're not ready to help me. So let's get mature. Let's wake up. Let's grow. And realize there's going to be people going to come and going to share some things with you. And don't get all excited about it. Just look them straight in the eye and say, okay, well, that's okay. Let's pray about that. Okay, well, we'll begin praying about that and continue like that. But don't get all emotional with them and all that. And, you know, in the book of Mark, God has given us one of the commissions here in Mark, the 16th chapter. I'm going to share quite a bit with you this morning. I think we, well, no, I'm not. We go to lunch here at 12. When I get done, huh? Yeah. Well, I'm going to try to be punctual about it. I keep seeing Doc in my spirit, too, all morning worship. Lord, we just bless Doc. Let him get him some rest. Get him strong and return back to us, Father, with a fresh anointing. Yes. Just bless him, Father, in Jesus' name. Yes. And Mark, the 16th chapter, verse 15, the scripture says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Well, people, here in verse 18, this take up serpents is an attitude of the minister of deliverance. To take, grab, snatch, and pull out spirits. It's an attitude of warfare. And so hopefully today we can have our attitudes changed. You have been called to the battle. We have been called as ministers to do spiritual warfare. We are God's men and women of war, people. But we can't fight if we're in bondage. If you're in bondage to something and you know that you have a friend there that you don't want to be delivered from, then how are you going to engage the enemy in warfare? We can't allow ourselves to become weekend warriors where we fight on Sunday. Hallelujah, we bind the demons. And then Monday you're depressed, the children are running to the house. You don't know what to do. Call the preacher. That's a weekend warrior.
Amen.
It's not going to work. We're going to have to be a little bit more consistent about this work. Now, God's people, Israel, were in bondage. They were in captivity for under the Egyptian rule for over 400 years, 430 years. And they were under the rule of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which is a picture of Satan. He controlled their work. He controlled their sleep. And he controlled what they ate. Even today, the Pharaoh spirit, which is a picture of Satan once again, is affecting our jobs, our sleep, and our appetites. We got to get free from the bondage. The anointing of God is what delivers us from the bondages. God's word delivers us. People, God wants to deliver every one of us. Now, consider this. After a period of time, the Egyptian culture began to impregnate into the Jews' culture and began to change the nature of the Jews. And although they were delivered out of captivity from Pharaoh, they still had a lot of what? Egypt in them. So it's going to take some time, little by little. It's going to take some time to get Egypt or the world out of our system. The Lord has saved His church. How many of His children are continuing to walk after they get saved, after the flesh, though? And so we have a real battle right now. I'm seeing in the last days many of the demonic principalities, seducing spirits, are openly manifesting themselves in the congregation. There was a group several years ago that had the wave offering. And I had a friend of mine, he's going to be with the Lord, and a very close friend of mine. It took me almost 3 years to get over that. And his daughter came for deliverance from Florida, so she was in a group in Florida somewhere. And they had the wave offering, and she came up to the front, and I was ministering deliverance, and right when I was praying for her, hand just went up in the air and started, "Way!" And I started talking to her. She wasn't there anymore. Who was there? Well, you know who showed up. And people, that's a lot of flesh. Demons are just openly manifesting themselves in the services, and people just don't know. The overseers, the elders, nope, they just think it's the power of God. Don't you become bitter because of that. Don't you become judgmental because of that. I'll assure you, a year or two ago, you were sitting in the same seat. So don't become scornful. Become a helper of your brother's faith. Pray and intercede. Whatever you do, you can mess up a lot. And I messed up a whole lot more because I make a whole lot more decisions, right? I don't judge. Now, I call a spade, and I see what I see. And then when I'm teaching as a pastor to the congregation about the traditions of men, I'm able to separate them from their sins. Some of us just see the man, and we see the sin. And I've worked with, and Brother Dean, I tell you, he's been a great inspiration. I've seen him work with homosexuals, I mean, men and women. I mean, they're married now, going on with their life, teaching. And so we adapted the attitude many years ago. When people come in and they sincerely want to be helped, I don't care what background you come from, if you apply yourself, you come to the proper teachings, you come for prayer, confession, repentance, you stay faithful and consistent, I'm not going to be upset because my little grandson's sitting next to you. There's protection God gives. He is our great shepherd.
He gives us protection if we're doing things decently in order. Now, if you're missing all the meetings, showing up when you want to, brother, I need to talk to you. Because, you know, when you came in here, you was raising the horn. I mean, the horn, you know what the horn is, huh? But anyway, I want to work with you, but you're not really applying yourself right now. And so, but we're not, our group and the people that we're working with become comfortable knowing that our great high priest, our great Lord Jesus Christ, will protect us. But we're not going to be ignorant of Satan's devices, amen? If we have spiritual problems that are occurring in our life that persist after much prayer, after we've gotten counsel, perhaps we need deliverance. Deliverance has its place. Crucifying the flesh has its place. But we need both. We can't just say everything is a... well, in other words, you can't crucify a demon and you can't cast out the flesh. So it's got to have a scripture application for every problem that we have. Now, we're learning some deep revelations on the parallels from Brother Henry, but we need to also understand the basic truths. Because how can you do the greater works unless you do the very same works? In the book of Exodus, God heard his people cry out in the Exodus, the third chapter. I'll try to slow down. We operating on very little sleep and a lot of grace. And I just come in from out of the country, and then I had a lot to do this past week. And I was telling Glenn, I think this is the first time I ministered in 2 or 3 weeks. Thank God we have ministers in our congregation that step up to and be obedient to God. We tell them all to be ready. The Sunday morning is not my day. It's God's day. And just because I'm the overseer of the works doesn't mean that I have to always minister on Sunday morning. Jesus shows up every day. He shows up Wednesday. He shows up Friday Night Live. And so you need to be prepared. You say, well, they're not going to let me minister. You don't know what they're going to do when God moves. But are you prepared so when God moves, you can? You say, well, I don't have a degree. Well, God, man, yeah, he makes room for your gift. And he places you before great men. It doesn't require all of that. It requires a submitting, God-fearing, loving, reverence person that reverence the Lord. Submitting to authority, willing to do the work. Well, God is calling us out of captivity. In Exodus, the third chapter, verse 7, the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land of, unto a good land and a lodge, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Well, how many of you know that these Ikes were fearful, murderous, terror-provoking people? That's where we get our name today, Dynamite. Just Ikes. And so now here God has promised them a land that was filled with these nations, these Ikes. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress my people. So God heard Israel's cry to be loosed and returned to an intimate relationship with him. And he delivered. Now, the problem is sometimes we don't receive deliverance because we desire deliverance for the wrong reasons. Well, I remember one time as an individual came in, I think his pastor asked me to work with him, and he had some problems with alcohol. Fine young man, nice spirit, just kind, and I got a problem. And I said, well, okay, let's work with it. And we began to talk and break curses, generational curses. I normally spend 1.5, 2 hours with each person. And after that session, he was just feeling so illuminated and so Christ-like. He was just so happy. And I said, well, okay, now, I'll see you next week or week after next, whenever the next session was scheduled for. And he went outside. I walked him outside. He reached down his pocket. He popped out a Marlboro or whatever, and he fired up. I said, well, John, I didn't know you needed help in that area. Oh, no, Brother Jim, I don't have a problem with this. So we need to take our time and do our basic investigation. Now we have brochures at the church where people have to fill out. Have you ever played with a Ouija board? You ever taken hard narcotics? Were you ever in the martial arts? It's just a form, and you can do this yourself at your own home ministries. You can have them fill out a little form there, and I'll study that. I have people sitting, I'll be sitting in the audience. I'll sit out with the people too, just like here. And they'll come, I see papers flying over by my shoulder here. Read this, you know, because they want to get in line for prayer. But Sometimes we do. We want deliverance for the wrong reasons. Let me give you a couple examples of some wrong reasons that I've observed. Probably you have too. Some people want deliverance just to be accepted. Just want to be socially accepted. Some people want to get deliverance to lose weight. You say, well, Brother Jim, that's a good reason. Some people want to get deliverance to stop smoking. Others want to get deliverance. Spouses are bringing their husband or wives, and they say, Brother Landon, pray for my husband, because if he doesn't get delivered, I'm leaving him. And also had wives leave their husband because the husband started learning deliverance. Pray for my wife, because if she don't get delivered, she's going to leave me. Wrong reason. You say, huh? Some want to get delivered just to continue in their sins. The right reason. God delivered me, for Satan hindered me from doing the work you called me to do. I want you to be glorified through me.
Amen.
Right reason. We get delivered so that we can be what God wants us to be. Satan is the one that's hindering us. And I think that's the reason why we don't get delivered, because we approach it with the wrong reasons. Well, in Exodus, the 14th chapter, verse 24, and it came to pass that in the morning, when watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. He took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel. For the Lord fighted for them against the Egyptians. How many of you know God fights our battles? That's what it's all about. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand, on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw that the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. That's spiritual warfare, people. The Lord took off their chariot wheels. I believe he loosed the spirit of panic, confusion in their ranks. Then he instructed Moses to stretch forth his hands, which speaks of what? The ministry. So it was the Lord working with the cooperation of man, the man Moses. Now, at this great deliverance, the children of Israel and Moses began to sing a song of redemption. We find in the 15th chapter, verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider had he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, I will exalt him. How do you suppose when they were singing this song, after this great triumph, they saw the Lord? Well, verse 3 tells us, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. They saw the God of battles. Boy, that's awesome. That's awesome. They saw the God of battles. Do you know that we have been commissioned to be the army of the Lord? Nothing happens until we speak the word. We have to get ourselves in line with God so that God can use us. There's much people out there that are deceived right now and need deliverance. And you've been commissioned to do the work. This is why you're here. Well, and what about in Matthew, the 28th chapter, at the conclusion of Jesus' ministry? Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. All authority was given unto Jesus. He commissioned his disciples. We look at it, we study the scriptures. He commissioned his church. He commissioned the believers to teach, to observe all things whatsoever he had commanded us. And then he said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Well, one of the messages that Jesus taught us to observe is deliverance. He taught the disciples, and he taught the disciples to teach us to observe deliverance. Are we observing this teaching? Well, not many are. But I believe that in the last days we're seeing a great revival of workers, the believers' ministry coming into effect. Yes, there's still some other things that are going on around the world, but I'll tell you what, without deliverance, it won't last long. Some of these men of God, Brother Glenn and them, have been around many, many years. And they're seen, and I've studied their teachings and listened to many, many testimonies over the years, and many have come and gone. But if you stay with the very same works Jesus had, you should not fail. We need to stay with the commission God has given us. Well, God has given us the same power of attorney to do the same thing as Jesus had done. This is the commission that's been given to the believers. And this included deliverance, casting out devils, preaching the gospel, and healing the sick. You have been given this commission. Well, I hope I'm charging some of you up this morning. Because this is your, this is iron sharpened iron. I know we have some wonderful speakers, but that's not what it's about. It's about all of us being electrified through Christ. Learning and increasing and understanding our callings and our commissions. That's what it's really all about. All of the work that's going forward here is not to build a man's work. I can tell you things that I'm doing, writings and books I've been studying for 10 years. I mean, we can go through all of that. That's not important. Right now, we just want to learn how to walk and how to do the work that God's called us to do.
Amen.
That's what's important. Now, we need to be able to tap into the resources. If we have a need, somebody in the congregation is having a problem with psychotic behavior, multiple personalities, I'll work with them. If I'm not getting something, I'm not able to hear from the Lord, I go to my pastor, I go over there, visit him for a while, see what he says. If I feel like what he says has helped me in some area, then now I call Jerry McGee. She'll be here in October. She works with psychotic, multiple personalities all of the time. And so we need to become a body ministry. And begin to use the resources and not say we are exclusive. What we do at Christ Outreach is boom, 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 boom. You got either do it or you're not going to make it. That's not true. He's got truth spread out throughout the world. And you got a measure here, you got a measure here. We all put it together. We got a whole. It's not a one-man show. Once again, I'll repeat. This ministry here is committed to your discipleship. And they could do a whole lot of other things and change this whole work around here. To make it a very prosperous work, you know. They know all of the same people we know, the TV, all the people on the TV, and all of the... But we don't want to get into that. We want to stay very faithful to the work of making disciples. And that's the commission that God has given to this ministry, so they stay faithful to that, so that it doesn't turn into a big program. You ought to come in October to the Deliverance Conference. They don't even tell you who's in charge of it. They just walk up here and get started. Boom. And when you go to a deliverance conference or some other conferences in the world, I mean, Bishop so-and-so, I mean, I got bishops under me. But I'm just Brother Jim. It's not about that. It ain't about that. It's about his name. It's about him. I believe with the exception of maybe two or three people, all of the elders under me have masters college degrees, the bishops in Africa and everywhere else. And I just graduated high school and took some college courses. He said, well, you don't sound like it. You don't have to sound like it. I'm just preaching the gospel. It's simple. It's just the word. Just minister the word. But you got to do the works. Step out. Find somewhere to go. And well, we don't have it over there. Oh, well. this place here just provides spiritual covering because you're submitting to God. Man doesn't cover you. I know some of the pastors tell us that. I was told that many years ago. I'm your covering. Well, when I get on the road and a car come push me off the curb, I don't holler, Pastor John. I say, Jesus, he's the one that protects me. I'm under his wings of covering. Now, if you step from under that umbrella of covering, then, well. So we in and out a lot, so we need to stay in, though. During the disciples' early ministry, Jesus instructed them to preach the kingdom of God, repentance of sins, healing the sick, and casting out evil spirits. In fact, every place in the gospel where Jesus gave the great commissions, those three things were common. And so they preached the kingdom. Men repent and heal the sick and cast out devils. Jesus balanced his disciples' ministry, so he wants our ministries balanced. And that's why you're here, because you say, I want my ministry balanced. Many of you may, like myself, come from works where they may not believe Christians have demonic oppression problems. And but you're faithful and you love them. And you love your pastors, you love your elders, and you love the ministries. And God honors that. And maybe he'll make a change there. Maybe he won't right now. Maybe he will 10 years from now after you're gone. But if you have to depart with love. And just believe God and move on in your life. And don't become pharisaical, because I've seen God turn around people that I thought it was no hope, because they just wasn't seeing it. How many of you know that Jesus wasn't always physically present with his disciples when he sent them out to do the ministry? So what did he use? The hands. Okay, speaks of the ministry. He used the hands, the ministers there, the disciples. In other words, Jesus working in cooperation with man to set the captives free. So the Lord wants to work in cooperation with you to set the captives free. You've been given the commission. Do the work. He says, behold, I've given you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. God says in his word that nothing by any means will hurt or harm you. Do you believe that? Do you have faith to believe that? Well, I do. But let me ask you a question. With all this power God has given us, to set the captives free, to tread upon serpents and scorpions, incidentally, speaks of evil powers and demons and Satan. How do we receive instruction in spiritual warfare? Now, the disciples set upon Jesus, let me slow down, because the tide is trying to attack me. I'll bind that in Jesus' name. The disciples set upon Jesus' ministry, and they begin to learn spiritual warfare. So what about us? Well, this is why God has us here. There is many, many years of investment here. Tapes and videos and booklets and teachers from all over. Many of you are teaching here. And this campground is really committed to the discipleship of every one of us. And there's email and websites and books and anything that you need. And so we are here to help you and to support your ministries. Totally support your ministries wherever you are around the world. And so I just, welcome you again to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And I pray that that you will be blessed and continue to grow in your ministries. Now, I'm very pro-church. I believe that God's established the church. I believe he established the pastors, the preachers, the prophets, the evangelists, teachers, and so forth. I believe that there's all type of groups out there in the world right now that think they have a better way. And there's those that are saying you don't have to be meeting in a building. And there's others saying that you don't have to be baptized. And that's just all types of heresy out there. But I'm very pro-church. And I believe that we must submit to authority. I believe we must find ourselves in a work with a group of people where we can learn to help each other through the Lord. Learn to allow the discernment of the Spirit, the word of knowledge, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit to work within the body, so the body can be ministered to. And we can't do that if we're going just sitting around the house drinking coffee and eating barbecue, talking about that's fellowship. In the book of Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 18, as Jesus made his appearance into the temple, he said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. That's what it's going to take, the anointing, people. To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind. Amen. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus came to set the captives free. Now, one thing that we may not remember is that we were all at one time, we were prisoners in war. We were in bondage to this Pharaoh spirit. In other words, we were MIAs, missing in action, in bondage here in the world. At the same time, we were at peace with our enemy. So we don't think about that. Some of us never break those curses there. However, the enemy was not at peace with you. He was working on a way to get you out of here. The devil knew that you had the mark of God. He was hoping you would not accept. He was hoping you would reject the gospel. Thank God you accepted. Now, everything that we have received from the Lord, we've had to battle for it to receive it. And if you think about it, you have to pray your way through every situation. Amen? Satan and his evil spirits are always contesting us, the believers, for the rights and the promises of God. Now, Israel was contested for all of their rights. So you're going to be contested also. And Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, as God is preparing his people to go into the promised land, he gives them some specific instructions before going into the promised land. Deuteronomy 7, verse 1, he says, when the Lord your God shall bring you into the land whither thou goest to possess it, possess the land, people, overcomers, and had cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, Gershonites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, you shall smite them, utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. People, we need to chase down our enemies. When you see an enemy in your life, there's a problem, an addiction, or a personality problem. You need to do scripture studies, pray, fast, seek counsel, get before the elders, pray about it, bind and loose. We need to chase down our enemies to none escape. And see, we don't have that kind of attitude. I just want to, you know, get a little deliverance so I can blend in with the brothers and sisters. I just don't dance in the Lord like Brother So-and-so. I just need a little deliverance so I can dance in the Lord. Well, maybe God hadn't called you to dance. I don't sing, but sometimes I sing, but you'll notice, you can tell I stick out. Sometimes we're asking for the wrong things. It's the purpose of deliverance is that God may be glorified through us. God, I'm hindered. The devil is hindering me from doing what you've called me to do. Help me and deliver me. That's what God wants to hear. So when, as he's teaching us to chase down our enemies. Now, God gave specific instructions to Israel before they were to enter the Canaan lands, these promised lands of Canaan. And so these lands were filled with milk and honey and grace, which speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. They had homes that were already built. I think in Proverbs says that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. So God's got provisions for you. Okay, and I realize there's a lot of error out there. Now, I don't think that we should be going to the car lots, laying our hands on cars, saying, car for me. Or writing checks on our check stubs up here. We donate to a ministry. We'll send it to checks to some ministry that's supposed to be in prosperity. We want that in anointing, right? No, you say, I just like to teach them. Well, okay. Whatever you give to, that's what you're going to become. And then we on our checks, it says, money returned back to me. Oh, come on now. Let's grow up. Let's wake up and let's grow up. We got to mature, okay? All right? You don't have to do all that. Just be obedient to God. Give and expect nothing in return. And God will prosper your ministry according to his kingdom's work, what he wants to do. And see, when I first started out in ministry, I submitted to authority. I began going around visiting different places. And I had a pastor of a national evangelist working with several national evangelists. And I was like the new kid on the block like I am here. And I was offered a congregation, a church, big building, 500 seats. It wasn't no 500 people, it was probably 100 something. But anyway, my wife and I looked at, we come into the pastor's office, and he started prophesying, saying, God said, you're going to oversee this work. And I looked on the floor, it was a big old dragon. I looked at my wife, we went over, we said, we ain't going there. The first thing I got to do is rip that carpet up. But you know what he told me? He told me he was going to die, he's probably going to die at 50. Would you pray for me? Because my daddy had a heart attack at 50. Well, that's what he's doing. And you'd be surprised, some of these big evangelists traveling all over Mexico and different places, they're all thinking and they're dying and all kind of stuff. But that would sit to us on a platter. You know where we ended up? On another part of town in a building, 20 by 45, one restroom. Now, we're not there now, but it's a little bit twice the size now. We got two restrooms, so praise the Lord. So the men can go here and the women can go there. But before that, they was using the same place, and we had to keep spray around there. But anyway. So the Lord will give you the increase. Sure, we have a desire. We would like to have a new structure and stuff like that because in our city we have a lot of termites. But you know what we do? We just come against pestilence. Pestilence, we rebuke pestilence off the property of God. Amen. God gave Israel specific instructions to remain separate from those other nations. Well, every nation, with the exception of God's people, was so heavily contaminated with witchcraft. They were sacrificing their firstborn. They were into all type of abominations, idolatry, and God knew it would be like a cancer coming into the camp of Israel if they did any type of fellowship and relationship with them. And people, I know we love the people out there, and I love the people in the world, the people in the church, and I know we just sometimes want to give what's holy unto the dogs. You need to be careful how you share the ministry of deliverance. Salvation is the greatest of all deliverance. And so begin a relationship with salvation and let people begin to like you and love you. And then they don't want to come to your prayer meetings, you know. You can't just go in there, you got a demon. The man can turn around and say, you got a demon. I can say, well, yeah, you're right. Okay. So, you know, ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. People are going to come in from all over, want to come to your prayer meetings or at your church meetings, wherever you're having Friday night, Saturday night live. And when we started off, we was having almost every night live. And God would bring the people in. You said, well, there's only three of us here. Okay, I'm telling you, just be faithful. God is doing a work in you then. And as soon as he finished that work, then he's going to bring one more, and then a family. Some will come through and get some help and leave. Some will stay and remain. But that's not your business. He had to break me of that many years ago. In our church, in our fellowship, December this year, I met with some of the elders. Not one of these type of official meetings, but just sit down here and let's talk. And I said, you know what? In all the years that I've been overseeing the work, I've never given an invitation. I said, maybe we ought to discuss that. Maybe we ought to change that policy. And they said, yeah, Pastor, we believe that, Brother Jim. Yeah, we believe we are. I said, okay, well, y'all pray for me, and y'all go ahead and do it, but y'all give me strength, because every one of y'all came in here because y'all came in by divine favor. God told y'all to come, and y'all sat down, and you became part of the body. You asked me where the restroom was, where the water was. You begin to learn to submit to authority like that. I say, but I really think that we have a lot of people coming in, maybe not feeling attached because they want somebody to say, come forward and give your life to the Lord, or come forward, not salvation, but I mean, become a work part of that work. And so I tried it once, I flopped. And then, so when I remembered, I started saying something like, well, we love you, we know that God has placed you here. If God has placed you to be with us, then you're a part of us. And until the time God tells you to depart, and if I can support your ministries when you depart, if you need electricity, some chairs, we will help you build your ministry as long as you submit here and learn the instructions, and we will support your work. But we know that not all of you are going to remain. And that was the best I could do, because I'm still having a problem with saying, come join Christ Outreach Church. Because we're already in the church. So y'all pray for me if that's an area of error that needs to be corrected in my life. But we do give the salvation call. Amen. Got to do that. Amen. Yes. Now, incidentally, salvation doesn't stop the enemy from attacking you. It does not exempt any one of you from the battle. It simply equips you to win. And Satan doesn't take a hands-off policy because you say, I speak in tongues. No. The enemy doesn't ever want any one of us to walk in the fullness and the knowledge of Christ. He doesn't even mind if you get saved. He just doesn't want you to enjoy it. And he's hoping you'll get old and curse God, blaspheme, and lose your salvation. Yeah. Well, those nations that were in the promised land, that were full of giants, contested Israel every right to the promises of God. Everything that we've received from the Lord, we've had to battle for it in order to receive it. We've had to pray, fast, warfare, seek God's face in order to get all of the promises that God has given us and to continue getting the promises God has for us. Satan and his evil spirits are always contesting the believers to the promise of God. One of Satan's purposes is to keep us from seeing beyond his flesh. In other words, to walk after the flesh, to remain carnal and unfruitful. But we must learn to do battle. Only the overcomers are going to inherit the promises of God. Now, many of you that are working in your deliverance works and starting little meetings and working with your pastors, some pastors are here. Let's share a few helpful hints with you. Never work in the enemy's camp, especially at the home of the individual you are counseling with, if all possible. But if you find yourself this is the only thing that you can't do, don't make them feel uncomfortable, because it's going to hinder their deliverance because you're concerned about the sun god over here and the Buddha over there. But if all possible, try to get them away from the home. Because remember, the demon just is in them. It might be using the idol to cause things to happen in the house, but you want to go after the spirit in the individual, okay, and get them to agree. Remember, knowledge is power. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If they'll come in agreement with you, they'll get rid of the Buddha. They'll throw away the sun gods. They'll throw away the Chestnut with those Aztec gods. Never minister alone. Especially with somebody of the opposite gender, these great Don Juan men that love to minister to the women by themselves. Never do that. Now, many times in a fellowship, we're ministering. My wife is over here, I'm over there, and two of the other elders are somewhere else. You're going to minister to men and women. Women, you can minister to men. Okay, but it should be in the presence of the assembly. A lot of times when I minister, I'll sit right up here and I'll pull chairs, and one after another, people will come. All right? You say, well, Brother Jim, you don't have a problem with lust. No, that's not the problem. I don't know what I got a problem with. Only God knows. But This is the problem. How many of you have seen demons manifest? Okay, when they manifest, they take over, and they shouldn't do this, the mind of the individuals, right? At that time, they in Hollywood. They in Disney World. And you did all this to me. So go ahead and take the chance if you want to. You've been warned. But when that demon work in that person's conscience, they don't know what you did them in them 3 or 4 minutes. So you better have somebody with you. That, I've never had a problem with that, but I'm just telling you, I know people that have. Some men feel like they're greatest witnesses to women. Well, pay for all their trips overseas and everything else. But anyway, also, you don't have to yell at the spirits. They can hear you a mile away. It gains you nothing. The spirits are not hard of hearing. But I know sometimes we can get excited. You come out of there right now in Jesus' name. And I may do that sometime because we have a lot of new people coming in. I want them to see you. Be bold about it. Come out. But about 5 months later, they see me saying, you come out of there right now in the name of Jesus. And so then they change as they see me change. Okay, so you don't just tell anybody, don't shout at the demons. Just let them watch what you do. If they keep watching and don't change, 6 months later, they got rebellious problems. Their problem is not yelling at the demons. That's the problem, is rebellion. It ain't got nothing to do with yelling. They got a better way. They're going to do it the way they want to. When you have the people sitting down and they're ministering, particularly if it's a man that's courting a young lady, they should be separate anyway, a husband and a wife, a son and a daughter or whatever, they shouldn't be holding hands. We are familiar with soul ties and generational curses. So you might just say, well, you lay both your hands on your knees and just relax. And you might not say, don't hold hands, because if you do that, your demon's going to transfer. Some of us step on our deliverance before we even get started. We step on it. We stopped the flow of the anointing. People feared and came up. Whew. Also, I would not advise you to stand directly in front of them. And men, be careful with your ties, because they will grab them. And demons will try to shake you out like a ragged doll. And so be careful with your beads. Make sure they can break easily. But don't stand in front of them, because remember, the spirits are looking in the spirit. You know, we need to stay in the spirit. But in the spirit, they don't see you. They see the Shekinah glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're standing right in front of them. They go, oh, and you step out the way. Oh, that presence won't let them come out. You're saying go, but they're going right against the light of God, the presence of God. So I'd say minister on the side. Don't shove them down. I know we have such an ambition to be like some of the great evangelists on TV, but don't push or shove. Just a gentle touch. And blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teaches my hands to war. God wants to teach your ministries to war. And so a gentle touch is sufficient. Now, we get excited sometimes because people start moving, right? So we'll hug them and love them. Love. Whoo, love is a powerful weapon against the powers of darkness. Love is a powerful weapon. So you may see me and Doc hugging people. And we sometimes the demon amounts, so we wrestle a little bit there. Okay? But it's not because we're trying to push them down. It's because we're ministering love to them. And the spirits don't like it. It's like a fire. It just burns them up, and they don't like that. If all possible, when a person starts ministering, manifesting, have them sit down in a chair. Relax them. Now, if they hit the flow, go to war. Fight. Just fight whatever situation the Lord puts you in. But in all things, remember to try to maintain some order there and some authority. And the authority doesn't have to be with an attitude. Here, I'm talking to this young fellow here. And all of a sudden he manifests. He's in and out of manifest. He sees Brother Jim, and the demon sees Jesus. He sees Brother Jim, the demon sees Jesus. All right. So when he's manifesting, I'm saying, I find you in the name of Jesus. And when he comes down, he sees me as this angry minister standing over him. You know. So if he's on the floor, you know, and he comes out, I say, John, come on, get up, sit right. Now, you know I'm mad at that devil. You mad too, ain't you? Kind of, you know, help get him to work with you to help you. They want to be free. We need to apply the blood. We need to be careful how we use the application of the blood. I believe that we go before a righteous judge, and the enemy is a lawyer on this side trying to come against us and say all the things that we hadn't done. And the Lord Jesus has said that because of my stripes and my victory and my blood, that they're righteous before me and before you, Father. And so, if that's a situation in your life where you need to go, where you need to plead for mercy from the righteous judge, well, then you might need to plead for mercy, because you know, Lord, I just have a problem with cussing. I plead for mercy there. You're pleading the blood. Okay, so there's no real scripture application when you're praying for a person going through a demon manifestation. Say, I plead the blood, plead the blood, plead the blood. I was trying to get you to see how we might use plead the blood, because it's not inappropriate, but it's inappropriate in deliverance if you use it in the wrong perspective. And somebody else might, Sister Carpenter, somebody else might have more light on that, how we apply that, and perhaps they'll share that today. So you might be somewhat cautious about that. Don't tell anyone you're totally delivered. Isn't that something we do? He's totally delivered. That demon said, I got you now. And I mentioned this one time in the last year or two. Wash those hot hands and fill in the captive's pain. Well, I take on all of their pains. That's how I know what their problems are. Do you need to do that? Jesus did it. You're not better than Jesus. You don't need to take on the people's pain. Jesus took on all of our sufferings, all of our pains, all of our sorrows. So why you have to be dependent? I've seen people say, they're walking the auditorium. There's 500 people out there, and they'll pray. When the anointing leave, the rest of y'all, you're on the Isle of Patmos. In other words, that's what they say. They say the gifts of God is all gone after the death of the last apostle. The last apostle, right? So I see the last apostle ministry working in the spirit-filled churches. Pray. The anointing is gone, and that great fellow, he walks on off. And without calling your names or naming any particular groups, I'm just trying to get you to see something. You work by faith. And trust in God. You say, well, I just had a big steak and salad and everything. I walked in the assembly and somebody said, pray. I can't pray. I got to go fast. Well, now you got a Samson personality. Samson lost his head. He lost his strength. Did you lose your power because you didn't fast?
Well, okay. I'm trying to
help you out here so that you can realize you're walking by faith. Okay? Your power is in the Lord, not in your ability. So if you had a big meal, go ahead and go to work. If somebody needs some help, go ahead and battle. You ought to have a discipline of fasting at least once a week or whatever anyway. So when the time comes to go to war, you're ready to go to war. Amen? I believe God is on our side. He wants us to do the work that he's called to do. Well, God did not desire Israel at peace with their enemies either. Because God knew that Israel's enemies would not be at peace with them. And people, this is a picture of the New Testament deliverance, a spiritual parallel. Now, I know that there's some real good programs that we have in our society today, drug abuse, drug anonymous, alcohol anonymous, but they teach you to keep your friends and never to be free. So you need to be very cautious how you minister to those people. I don't want to sound pharisaical when I bring the situations up before you. I want you to understand that when these people come, you have to love them and share the truth with them, and they'll come and submit to a teaching, and they'll hear those truths. They're learning, they've been taught to keep their friends. And so if you're part of that group, then God wants to set you completely free. And he can. But you can't be free if you're at peace with your enemy. What is taking place in the church today? Well, first of all, very little scripture deliverance, if any. We feed the sicknesses with drugs. We pamper our conditions. We fill the hospital and mental institutions. However, how many cast out demons in Jesus' name and speak healing? Well, very few, I can tell you, very few. Many that are oppressed with evil spirits of anger and sexual sins and various addictions seldom get the victory because of the ministries that they're part of, refusal to accept deliverance as part of God's overall plan. But don't become bitter. Many in the church have faith to receive their deliverances. However, at the same time, they have made peace with their conditions. They are being taught that they can be delivered, but no one knows how to get them delivered. I remember many times in the early years, individuals that would manifest and in the audience, in the auditorium, and they would, I remember one particular lady fell down, and she was in a bound position, and they were preaching Jesus, and when you preach Jesus, I don't think it matters what denomination, when you preach Jesus, they're binding a demon. And, but the problem is, the Lord wants the believers to loose the spirit, loose the people, so they become bound, and the pastor ran down there and told everybody, get away from them. And I remember sitting down and looking over there with my pastor and his wife at that time. That was quite a number of years ago. And he's going to be with the Lord, but his wife is with us. And the demon and the person looked, rolled their eyes at me and smiled. They had a hands-off ministry. Hands-off. They've been slain in the spirit. Which way did they fall? But anyway, We need to be careful about that being slain in the spirit. He was slain in the spirit. If you search the scriptures, you find the word slain mean to kill. Well, my God is not in the business of killing me. I mean, I'm killing this flesh. I'm dying to old nature. In many places I've seen situations where they'll tell you to get your hands off of them. God is doing a work. Well, God wants to use you and I to set the captives free. And you must say, come out. If you don't say, come out, don't expect the demon just to fall out of there. I think the Lord is raising up truth. He's preparing ministers from all over the world with light, with understanding concerning the subject of deliverance. And that's why we're here. Because we are the soldiers of the Lord. And many of your ministers, by the way, I do speak to young people. I love young people because they got fire. And they got God's word. They got Jacob and Joseph's word and spirit. And they have a tremendous work. And they have unwavering faith. I've seen little babies and teenagers say, come out! And you know what? They really believe it. They have no reason not to believe it. I've seen grown-ups like myself saying, come out! I'll never be invited back here. One time I was praying for a person, and the person manifested, and after about 10 minutes, that demon was struggling, fell on the floor, and one of the ladies was working with me. She said, Brother Jim, this demon won't go down. I said, no. I said, it's trying to embarrass us. We didn't have all this victory, back snapped in place. We heard cats meowing and out in the audience. People was getting free. One man ran up there, and his back had just got healed. He had an injury from working on the railroad. That's Brother Bruce Bynum. That's how he came to learn deliverance. And at the same time, I had one bound. You know what it was? Unforgiveness. And that person said, I refuse to forgive my dad. You know why? Because daddy was a papa, was a rolling stone. Where he laid his hat was his home. And he not only had a family on this side of the street, but on the other end of the street, not other end of town, he had another woman, another set of children, and his children was growing with him. That girl said, I would never forgive my daddy. So God will give you enough victories to keep you going. There are going to be some defeats to keep you honest. It's all about him. And I tried, and I made special meetings and everything I could to bring that young lady to God, and I failed. So he gives us enough victories to keep us going, but there's going to be some defeats. And so, young people, you're in the battle. You face 30 to 60 personalities a week. We're not in school with all of those people, somebody's chewing gum, somebody's cursing, somebody's in the gangs. You're doing all kinds of spiritual warfare, so you're in the battle too. Welcome. And I love to see the young people come to service on Friday night deliverance talking about. And I was trying to tell them, Brother Lamb, they don't understand. They don't know it's spiritual warfare. I said, I know. And y'all just keep praying for them like that. And just like you didn't know one time, they're going to find out sooner or later. We hope and pray. So don't exempt your children out of the warfare. They want to be in the battle. They're facing more personalities than you're facing in the course of a day. I don't know. There's no way I'm going to finish all this. And not rightfully so. I am going to need some rest. So in Psalms 144, 1, we'll try to finish up. We'll hope and pray that Doc will give us some deliverance this afternoon. That way I won't take you to some deliverance. Well, we'll just see what happens in 5 to 6 minutes. In Psalms 144:1, God says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. For God desires to use the body. He desires to use the hands to defeat the powers of darkness. He desires to teach our hands, our ministries, to war. And so you're here today because God is commissioning you to the battle. In Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 1, God says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. In Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also, and he sent them two and two before his face, and to every city and place, whether he himself would come. Jesus gave power and authority to his disciples, to the 70, to the church, to the believers, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out devils. Once again, it is the believer's ministry. So if you're confused about what God wants you to do, I'm telling you, you've got to have this package. This is the package God wants you to have. I'm not saying you can't have other works. And people, you don't pray a demon out, by the way. Jesus never prayed a demon out. He just sent them out. He cast them out. So you don't need to be praying, oh, Lord, if it be your will, oh, get so-and-so delivered. Oh, Lord, Lord, help them out right now, Lord. No, no. Do your homework. Pray. Investigate. seek some information, seek God, ask the Holy Spirit for discernment, and challenge the Spirit in Jesus' name. You say, well, what if it doesn't come out? Well, if you don't try, nothing going to happen. If you try, something can happen. God working with the canned folk. That's the people that got faith. See, God wants us to bind and loose. You know, everyone that had the same revelation that Peter had has been given the keys to the kingdom. And God is loosing up there. He's the God of the kingdom. And if you're buying rejection, God can loose acceptance. If you're buying sickness, God can loose healing. If you're buying rebellion, God can loose and loose because you asked him to loose submission. So we need to learn something about the keys to the kingdom, binding and loosing. We ought to be practicing binding and loosing every day of our life. Oh, I've got to share these things with you. I'll be back in July, so there's no way I'm going to get through this. And we hadn't even got to the message yet. Really? Really, I'm serious. We're not going to get there. All right. When you leave your jobs on Fridays, I work 4 days, particularly you that are ministers, pastors, and believers. Okay. Father, sins I've committed in this work week, I ask you to forgive me. I've been in the presence of men with unclean lips. I pray that and give thanks for the angels to protect the ear gate and eye gates to my soul. Because they're talking about adultery. They're talking about drinking. They're talking about going to the clubs. I wasn't offended by it. And because I'm at a stage of growth where I'm not offended, I have to be careful not to lose the shield of protection. And not to be too comfortable. Because I'm very comfortable even among sinners. Okay? They don't offend me. Those who offended are the little children. Because they become offended easy. But those that have come into strong meat are not so easily offended. Now, we all go through a cycle where we get offended. Don't get me wrong. Because we're growing. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Okay. So, Lord, if any of these things have happened, I want to repent right now, break those curses. Now, I want to break soul ties with all of my co-workers. I break soul ties with the corporation I work for. And I'm doing this in my truck when I left the gate, when I walked out my job. And I say, I'll walk away from it. I'll see it Monday. I'm out of there. Now, as a pastor, and many of you that are aspiring pastors, I also do this for our children in schools and for the rest of the congregation at their jobs, and they don't know I do it. I tell them sometime I've done this, but they hadn't, and I don't know how many have caught on. And since I finished up on a Thursday, I'm doing it for the work week of the people that's working Monday through Friday, and I'm doing it for the children, so when they come out of school on Friday, I'm breaking the soul ties with them and praying for the fragments of their soul and spirit to be returned back to them. You could do so much damage to the powers of darkness if you would just practice basic binding and loosing. Amen?
Yes.
Well, in the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, you know where I'm going. Verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles, schemes, methods, strategies. That's what the word wild means. Of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against... See the different three spheres of warfare here. But we wrestle against principalities. We're down into the second, down here lower, and powers, and then rulers down here of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. So when I see deliverance in three spheres. Okay, I see the work that's in high places here, and I see the powers that are governing those spirits in the territory. And I see the principality, in the case of Daniel, I see the principality that's over that region. So I see deliverance in three ways. I see it three different spheres. And most of the church right now is just fighting down in the earth. But we got, in the book of Job, we got constellation spirits, Orion, Maseroth, Bethemoth, Leviathan. These are whole different spheres. I want to do some deliverance on some things that Sister Coffey taught me about 4 years ago. The unholy trinity, the angel of the bottomless pit. The false prophet, the beast, these are rulers, okay? And they come and go just like somebody on the subway. And we need to know how to deal with those things. Sister Coffey has an excellent teaching she did 3 years ago, 4 years ago, on the beast. You should get the tape, but if you're not ready, don't get it out. Okay. Yeah. You can look at a picture of a lady with cancer that got free 14 days later or whatever. You can sure get the tape on the beast. Even I manifested. You said, you manifested? Yeah. I was out there helping her. Next thing I know, I saw belching. I said, oh, my God, I'm getting free. I said, devil, you get out of there. And after I belched a few more times, nobody even seen, you know, it was so quick. And then I went back to work, and I told her after service, I said, guess what? I was getting free, too. I was belching back there with the rest of them. And so deliverance workers get excited about getting delivered. I know I do. I tell you what, because it's supper, I mean lunchtime, I'm going to finish with a chapter, John, the 14th chapter, scripture we're all familiar with, that Jesus spoke to the disciples. John 14, verse 12, the scripture says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Well, people, Pastor Norman Parrish, our senior overseer and a fine brother of God that comes here and teaches in October, he mentioned something to us several years ago I have never forgotten. There are many, many works out there, many, many gigantic works. Many of them are good works, and some of them are not so good works. Some of them interfere with the truth. But how can we be into a greater works ministry? Brother Landry, I'm in a greater works ministry. I have a bicycle ministry. Well, don't see it. Well, I don't know. It ain't there. Just because you ride bicycles with Jesus, don't call it a ministry. And so there are others who got greater works. But how can you be in the greater works until you've done the very same works Jesus has done? Learn the basics of deliverance is my prayer to you all. Just learn the basics. And then after that, God can give you, no telling where you'll go from there. That's okay, but at least you're not straight away from the foundation. Brother Henry, in the multitudes of revelations God's given him, he's able to sit down here and enjoy deliverance with us all. He knows the importance of deliverance and has spoken it so, right? But he's not the only person that God is using. He doesn't claim to be. There are a multitude of revelations that are spread out through the church. And God said, "I want to feed the body bodily." And isn't it a blessing that he has taken out of his time to come and share with us? But do you know something here? The greatest sharing that took place was the Lord working through every one of you, greeting and meeting new people. John met Mary, and Mary met Barbara, and Barbara met Sue, and Bill met Dave. And I met a lot of you. Don't remember your names. I just made up a bunch there. That was the miraculous work of God. That was the love of God. And so we're becoming friends. And that's so important, because you're going to need our prayer, because I may be down in Texas somewhere, and all of a sudden your face will come to me, and God says, "Travail and pray for this person right now." He didn't tell me to worry for those persons. He said, "Pray the victory for that person." Yes. And then when I see you, I don't ask you, "Did you almost get in the car accident?" Come on, man. Come on. Don't leave that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Come on now. We must use the keys of binding and loosing, and not to pretend to come up with a better way. A better way than what Jesus had. Well, there's so many things. Now, people are using crystals now to get demons out. Well, putting demons in. Then they're using a certain type of inner healing. I'm not against of all inner healing ministry, but the ones that use regression and say, "Well, we're going to bring you all the way back to you was in the womb." Well, man, something wrong about that. I came out the womb. Jesus said, "You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit." So I already went through the first birth. I need to know about the second birth. Oh, boy. Well, you say, "My pastor said that's water baptism." Well, yeah, but that's okay. Just, you got a little bit more truth, and that's fine. And it had nothing to do with water baptism. Satan is going to try in the last days. It's like he's going to try to impregnate the women. Y'all studied Satanism. Some of you read the books of what's going on in Satanism. And these spirits are coming in and supposedly impregnating these women and from Satan. And they're trying to come up with another race of giants. And then they're trying to impregnate into the society committed to Satan and pretend that they can be saved. Demons want to be saved. I had them tell me, "I won't bother him. Just let me get saved too." No, you're not going to be saved. And this doctrine of ultimate reconciliation, that even Satan is going to be saved, is a lie. Yeah. Even one of my brothers has turned to this error. And we just got him out trying to commit suicide twice in the last 30 days. We're praying. Devil can't have him. His wife and children hadn't been in church in 2 years. They came Sunday and said, "God said for them to come back to service." Not to pay attention to what my brother said. Okay, now we'll start praying for him. Some more. He got caught up in this thing. Watch what you read on the internet. My son began to study some things in law. And while he was in, he came to me and said, when I hit the icon, it went behind here. Now I'm seeing some other stuff. I got to study, and I said, okay, well, that's Islamic groups, hate, Muslims, and they're trying to give you legal advice, and the legal advice is correct, but they're using it from a wrong perspective. He said, okay, because your children need to come to you and ask you, and you need to be able to guide them and give them some help. Okay, I need to move on right quick and dismiss. Psychology. No, there's no room for psychology. Psychology doesn't believe that man has a soul, just a spirit and a body. And so we need to be very cautious with psychology. Now, thank God he's raised up some Christian psychologists that that study the study of the soul and in helping us and from a biblical perspective. Medications, only mass spiritual problems that we have. And so we all need to do the very same works that Jesus has done. So God wants us to become a foundation in Him, not any other foundation. No other foundation, man, lady. He wants us to be foundation in the Lord. You've been given the Great Commission, and you trust the Lord. He will lead and guide you. You get into the battles. You start ministering to people, deliverance. God will equip you with discernment, with word of knowledge. He will begin to share things in your spirit, man, to help you get the freedom that you need. How many of you know that the farmer ought to be the first partaker of his crop, right? Now, you want to be biting off somebody else's half, you better make sure yours not fall. So we need to get some deliverance. We should first get our deliverance, and this is what you're doing. You're here to learn about deliverance, but you're also getting blessed because you're getting additional services and teachings on other subjects, and that's a blessing because the gospel should have a balance. But every one of you have been called to the commission. It is your ministry. We're here to support your work, to encourage you, and our emails are open, our phones are open, whatever you need. But I'm strongly suggesting that you look at the airline flights. They're a lot cheaper now. The bus rates, in many cases, have been a lot cheaper, unfortunately, because of 9/11. And so you might take that into consideration. I'm asking you to consider coming to the Deliverance Camp because I get excited when I see what's happening here. Psychotic personalities, multiple personality teachings. Frank Hammer did a teaching a few years ago here on the schizophrenic personality. Many of you have seen that in the book, Pigs in the Parlor. It's nothing like hearing it straight from him. Brother Dean teaches the same stuff. It's nothing like hearing it straight from the elders that come in December. Sister Coffey got the excellent teaching on the beast, the unholy trinity. You say, it's in the pit. Well, okay. The war that's taking place in heaven is right here. Okay, so the whole service is in October. Forgive me, Glenn, for pushing that. It's because I get so excited. Oh, incidentally, I've never taught one. That's how powerful it is. I'm sitting out there trying to get it. I'm trying to get it. And so I'm encouraging you to come. It's a lot of fun, and the subject stays all the time, pro-deliverance, all the time. Child abuse, whatever the case is. We just cover many subjects, and I want to encourage all of you to come. Amen? Why don't we stand? Father God, I just give you praise and worship. We give you praise and worship for your word. We thank you, Father, for the increase of your word in our spirit today. Father, that we will rightly divide the word of truth. Father, we pray, Father, for growth, maturity, and perfection, that we no longer toss to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We pray to be found faithful in the commission that you've given each one of us. Teach us, Lord God, strengthen us and deliver us, Lord God, so that we can be faithful to do the work you've called us to do. Lord, I thank you right now as I pray and commission your people to the battle. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that you'll raise up intercessors that will continue to pray for them. They have no reason to fear because you have not given them a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You shall give them the increase, and you shall give them the protection. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Any iniquity that comes against them shall return upon the head of the enemy. We break the curses of spiritual blindness over the people of God, the spirits that have been assigned to hinder the people of God from growing and nurturing in the things of God, going forward in deliverance. We break those powers of darkness right now. We bind those spirits and command them to go now in Jesus' name. You go, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We are the army of the Lord, and we shall go forth valiantly doing the work that God has called us to do. Now, Father, we bless the afternoon supper, lunch. We give thanks for it, Father. We ask that it be blessed and bring nourishment to our vessels. Give us strength, Lord God, that we can be found faithful and not slothful, that we'll be found hungry and thirsting after things of righteousness and not go to bed at 1:30, that we'll attend our meetings, go upstairs, the ladies' meetings. I bless them this hour. I bless the men's meeting at 1:30 and the rest of the meetings throughout this evening. Let the Lord bless them, we pray in Jesus' name. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all until we meet again. Amen. God bless you. Love you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.